He's effective out high or down low. Here he is out high. Holds, waits, fires, and scores! Matvei Michkov has his first goal at the Wells Fargo Center. And the Flyers are back on top. It's 3-2.
Maxi fires. He's got it. Tie game. 8.1 to play. 41 for Maxi.
It's good.
Right center field. Lightning strikes. 2-0 Bills.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years. What a game. What a season. What a team. The greatest Eagles team in modern history. Eagles fans, savor it and rejoice.
And now it's time for That Philly John on Sterling High School Radio with your hosts, Travis Schmidt and Pat Carroll.
And thanks for joining us here on That Philly John, episode number 3. Rob Strauss, Pat Carroll, and Trav Schmid bringing you all the what's happening in Philly. A lot happened even after we closed the pod last week, guys. It's almost like 2 hours after we finished. We had some big news, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Lots of big news. We have a special guest in the studio today. The biggest Philly fan that I think I've ever met, the 4 for 4, and Emmy-winning student broadcaster, Dan Leakin, in the house. Welcome. Let's, you know what, one time.
Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, let's go.
This has definitely been a long time coming, even from when Jake and Brian and Ben ran this. I didn't get an opportunity to get on, and have the distinct pleasure of getting on with these two guys that sit to the left and right of me. I'm very excited to talk some Philly sports.
You know what, and kudos to Pat and Trav for keeping this going.
No, 100%.
100%.
Yeah. I thought it was the coolest thing last year when I got to watch these videos back and listen to Jake and Brian talk about how Bobby Brink should have been Calder finalist. But, you know, I think these two carrying on the legacy was something that was needed, and I think this is the coolest thing. You two are doing a great job.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. You have me on your broadcast, Dan, so it's great that you can get on here with us.
I'm so excited. I'm amped.
I know, and yeah. Dan's got hot takes. We're going to get to his hot takes in a minute, but first things first. So obviously, what we're going to cover today, obviously, Phillies, Flyers, Eagles, maybe a little bit of Sixers. Not much happening in Sixer world right now because the Sixers aren't in the playoffs, but we'll get to that in a little bit. First things first, big news with the Phils. With the recent suspension announcement of Alvarado, who's not only going to miss 80 games, but now he cannot pitch in the postseason. Pat, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, that's just a huge loss. You know, he was one of your guys that you would put at the end of the bullpen, closer role, and I just think that's a huge loss. I think they definitely need to get one or two arms at the trade deadline.
It makes moves interesting for the front office now. So now what do? You don't have that arm coming out of the bullpen. Fortunately, the Phillies are started a series last night with Colorado, who's god-awful.
Mm-hmm. He wins.
Yeah, they're not good. Not good at all. So if you're going to lose your starting closer, that's the team you want to lose that to start the series with.
I mean, so you're definitely figuring stuff out now. And I mean, coming out of the pen, you have Strom and Tanner Banks as your two lefties. That's not something I'm very confident in. So at first, if I'm Dombrowski, I want to look for a lefty coming at the trade deadline. But at the end of the day, now you just need a closer, period. And I think this is a good series to try and jumpstart on who this could be coming out of our bullpen and to really see how big this gap is for us, because that news came out of absolute nowhere.
Yeah, and so the one thing that was kind of weird to me too was the fact that they said it was like a weight loss thing that he was taking to, you know, drop a couple pounds. And it's
was
like,
it though?
That's the thing. Like, you, the access to nutritionists that this guy has and diets and you know, people can help him lose weights in healthy, normal ways. Like, that's, to me, that's a red flag. And it's like, there's, this guy was doing something. He just doesn't make sense.
I agree with you to an extent. The amount of access to resources that you have that aren't being utilized.
Yeah.
And was it a weight loss thing? I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever know.
It was that or like testosterone.
It was exogenous testosterone, which is testosterone that is produced outside of the body, typically through medication or hormone therapy. So don't know what that is, but Jose shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, none of it makes sense.
It doesn't. But we've seen players get ousted for that for 80 games, and that's one of the perils that you have as a player. Like, you have to know what you're putting in your body, knowing that you're missing 80 games. Now, he's not getting paid for those 80 games either.
No, yeah, and this is the last year of his contract.
Oops.
I'm pretty sure when Tatis got suspended, he got spent an entire season. He claimed it was just something that he was, like, putting in his hair, and he had no idea that, it's weird. Again, he was taking something like hair growth or something like that.
I don't know about you, like, Travis and Pat, but that's one of those things where I think the player just looking for an excuse there. And earlier this season, and I think they've been a little stricter on this season. Earlier this season, we saw another big name go down with the suspension in Jerks and Profar, who just got signed to a big contract in Atlanta. So it's really interesting what's been going on. They've been definitely cracking down on this drug policy, and they got our boy Jose, which is unfortunate.
So now it begs the question. You see some of these, the door opening up. We talked about the Hall of Fame with Pete Rose in our last pod, but are they going to start opening the door back up for people like McGuire, Sosa, A-Rod, Clemens?
I'm going to backtrack to what Mr. Stewart said last week. Strauss and Pat, you'll know the Baseball Hall of Fame is to celebrate and honor the history of the game and the accomplishments. You can't talk about baseball without Barry Bonds. The home run record, I mean, he was must-watch TV. Yeah. And he's arguably, PEDs or not, probably the best power hitter you've seen. I think, I definitely think the door should be open.
I think the door should have never been closed. I mean, Mr. Stewart may say a lot of stupid stuff, but I think that's something he's pretty on with. I don't think that door should have ever shut for those players because, as Travis said, it's a place where they honor history and honor what we've watched for, so many years. When you don't let those people in, you're taking a piece out of history and trying to gloss over that. And I think that's not.
Are you not going to put Jordan in the Hall of Fame because he gambled, allegedly? Like, you can't not do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if that's – but was he betting on his own? That's a whole nother discussion for a whole nother time. But nonetheless, you've got Alvarado suspended for 80 games. That's going to put him out until midsummer, roughly.
Like August 16th around
Right around the dog days of August, and then you'll get him back for 6 weeks until the end of the regular season, and then he can't be a part of your starting rotation or any of those, what is it, 25-man roster? Heading into October.
I feel, Pat, we're on the same thing. Do you send Ranger to the bullpen towards the end of the year and pull Painter off for October?
I said that last podcast, and especially with that Mick Abel start on Sunday, I think that could definitely move Ranger back that bullpen.
On the heels of that announcement came the debut of Mick Abel, who was a draft pick, first-round draft pick from 4 years ago, I believe, and came out and pitched a gem, tied a Phillies record for most strikeouts in a debut with 9. Which was really, really impressive. And the family was there. They kept on cutting to the shot of the family being there. And I thought it was a class move from McCarthy to hand him and his family the
scorecard.
That was a class move. And that's doing some pretty cool things in your life. And when you try to get as much merch and memorabilia as you can from certain events, trust me. The amount of merch that anything that you can get, I would get blades of grass. I would get pieces of dirt, and I'd put it in a jar, this is from the mound where I pitched and tied a Phillies record. Like that, what a great debut!
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and Abel he looked dominant out there. And I mean, the Pirates lineup up and down isn't the best thing you're ever going to see. I mean, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is not a name where I say, oh man, that guy can hit the ball. He really can't, but Abel looked like he had command of his curveball. He dominated with his fastball going in 96, 97 at tops, and he just looked really calm and cooled out there. Now, last year, there again was the concern with his control with a lot of his pitches, so I think the option to send him back down is still smart. He still has some things to go, but I think an awesome debut for someone who has a pretty bright future on this Phillies roster.
Speaking of the Phils, I think last time we spoke, they were 2.5 back.
Yeah.
And they have leapfrogged the Mets, and now they are a half game up on the New York Metropolitans.
They're first place in the National League.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, yep. They jumped the Dodgers.
Yeah, they sure did. And so there they are.
Exactly
the Mets are. Mets are in the
one,
in
where
the
it's like,
yeah.
They start off slow, dude. Who cares? There's so much baseball to play, and you see all the overreaction that Harper's not hitting and the pitching's not good. It's like, come on, dude.
Well, that's I think, just to keep this short, I think that's just playing in Philadelphia. We saw a lot of overreaction with the Phillies or the Eagles this year, going 2-2 in their first 4 weeks, and then came out after the bye and dominated everyone. So, yeah, especially in baseball, and Pat, you can speak from experience. I think you can never get out to you can't judge too early. That's one of the biggest mistakes you can make on a player, especially someone like Bryce Harper, who could really just turn it around as quick as a snap of the fingers.
Yeah.
Taking a look at the rest of the schedule for the Phils, they've second of four in Colorado right now. Then they head over to Las Vegas. I almost said Oakland. Almost said it.
Hey, that's our future closer is in the A's bullpen right now, Mason Miller.
So three at the Athletics, a day off next Monday on Memorial Day, and then they open a pretty sizable home stretch starting off in a big home series, three with the Braves and then with the Brewers. So that'll round out the month of May. So the next time we do the pod, the landscape could look a little bit different. Mets are kind of on the struggle bus right now a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I'm sure, you know, Danny's putting his hand up in the air. He can't see it because it's radio. But he's a big, big fan of that. The last 10, the Mets, not so good. Even 5-5, Phillies 7-3, and they made up that ground on those two games.
That's they did. Up. And I think a bad, bad series in the Bronx from the Mets. It was definitely the backbone of that. No one on that team played well in the Bronx. And I think maybe the whole thing with Juan Soto, which is a whole big mess in itself, played a little bit into that, got into the team's head, and they got what was coming to them in the Bronx. And I think the Mets are just still trying to find their identity. But I would also like to say this. That is a team that we cannot write off yet. They're just up and down very good.
Just like the Braves early in the season, they came right back and are only like 4 or 5 games out from first place.
That's the first time I've ever seen somebody get a standing boo. Like, the entire Yankee Stadium was on their feet booing Juan Soto. Usually get a standing O when someone comes back. Or, I mean, when he took the outfield, they turned their back to him every time he'd step up. I mean, the place was on their feet booing him.
See, like, if I'm Juan Soto, crazy. I don't care. You know why?
He tipped his cap to him.
And you know why he can do that? Because he's making $67,000 per at-bat.
More money
that's
his contract's going to be $800 million.
It doesn't matter to Juan Soto. But clearly, you know, if we look at that series, didn't help. He didn't play well at all. Yeah, I mean,
he's not running out ground balls. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like...
Yeah. But we hear this all the time with athletes. Like, Jimmy Rollins got into a bunch of trouble when he didn't run out of ground ball.
Yeah.
So Juan Soto in his first series back at Yankee Stadium as a Met went 1-for-10 with 4 walks and 3 strikeouts. It's not great.
That's not
ideal.
Not ideal. So that again, that's the point. And when it may not matter to Juan Soto, he can sit there and giggle it off. But at the end of the day, you're not producing for your team, and everyone's not only are Yankees fans yelling at you, but now Mets fans are on your butt too.
If I'm getting paid damn near $800 million, if I popped up and I knew it was going to be I'm sprinting, you know, everything. Yeah. He's, you don't play lazy on that contract.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a sense of complacency and comfortability when you know that you're getting paid regardless of whether or not you run out of ground ball.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately, that's the world we live in, whether it's in baseball, basketball, football, or hockey. I think there's that, well, I mean, doesn't matter how much. Can you imagine you guys coming to school every day, and it doesn't matter what grades you get, you're still going to pass the class?
Yeah.
How much work would you do when it comes to March and April and May and June? Probably not a lot.
Yeah.
The next generations of Sotos are taken care of. Like, you know, he's probably like laid back almost. Like, you got the biggest contract. Like, I'm Juan Soto. There's no like urgency, I feel like, in him right now.
No.
Speaking of struggling, Aaron Nola, off to a 1-7 start, gave up 7 against the Cardinals. He continues to struggle. What do you do with Aaron Nola at this point, Danny?
Now, I want to ask PC this question, actually. I'm going to reiterate it and put it in a different way. Do you think the ankle problem was something that was wearing on him a little bit, that kind of turned into those 7 runs given up against the Cardinals? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, when you have that lead in the first inning that the Phils gave him, and you go out there and allow 9 earned runs, that's just not great. I definitely think that angle was might have been bothering him a little bit. But, you know, when you got younger guys that are stepping up for his place, like Mick Abel and the younger guys like that, Painter coming up soon, you know, that just shows, like, the youth and the potential in AAA. And I just think younger guys are going to prove themselves during his injury.
Yeah, I love Philly athletes, and I try, you know, to never give up on them because I know it's a real tough spot to play in. And, you know, someone like Aaron Nola, who in the past, you know, he has his struggles, he has his tough couple games, but this is just not Aaron Nola. He always usually bounces back after a tough game, you know, has a bad inning, and, he pitches well when it matters. He's decent towards the end of the season. He was huge in that World Series run. But this is just not the Aaron Nola of recent memory and time. And it's, I like to think it's the ankle injury, and I'm not going to give up on him because, you know, he's.
Because he's Aaron Nola.
Yeah, and he's correct. Been in the city forever, and he took a pay count or little discount to come back here. So you got to respect him. I just, you know, hope he can turn it around.
Numbers right now, 1-7 with a 6.16 ERA in 9 games started. That's 49 and 2/3 innings pitched. 52 strikeouts with a 1.51 whip right now.
I mean, the beautiful two-seam that he throws kind of hits the back door, especially on the lefty batters, that a little unexpected, but very beautiful. And started to top out at around 80 to 90 miles an hour. So there was a deficiency in the speed that he was throwing a couple of pitches. It was a lot easier for batters to read, and it's resulted in that 6.16 ERA. You mentioned Strauss, and I'm not worried.
Concerned.
I'm concerned. Correct.
I mean, he could pitch in the home run derby if he really wanted to.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that's a...
Well, I mean, we text about this a lot. I think almost every game, at least one will leave the park on Nola. At least one.
It's the RAV fourth inning every time. It kills him.
Yeah.
It kills him.
From the not so good to the good with the boom.
Yeah.
That's Pat's guy. We're going to let Pat, him talk on this one.
We're going to let you cook on this one. Yeah. This is your boy right here.
Yeah, I love Alec Boehm. The way he plays the game, you know, people kind of, you know, wrote him off after that NLDS last year against the Mets. But, you know, I knew he was going to bounce back. He's starting to heat up a little bit. You know, he's been hitting, you know, hard outs right now. He's hitting line drives right at people, but he's starting to get lucky. He has 3 home runs, 16 RBIs. And 6 doubles on the year, hitting .260. So he brought that average all the way up to .260 from like .190 he was hitting. So I think it's really good that he's starting to heat up, and he's helping the team a lot.
Last 7 games, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs. Just doing a great job at the plate, Alec Boehm. And he hit a
2-run shot last night to give us the lead.
Yeah, that was huge hit.
In a place where you should sweep. The Rockies.
Yeah.
Four games.
Take three or four.
Yeah, that's what I was talking to my buddy about the other day. I mean, four games from any team, regardless of how bad the team is tough. Beating the same team over and over and over again.
We swept them in 3 last time,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I was at the last game to sweep.
Yeah, I was there too.
So you're looking at 8:40 tonight, 8:40 on that's Wednesday night. Mm. And then a 3:10 game.
Hmm. It's actually a really nice start time.
So you get out of school, and you start your 4-day weekend, and just kind of go out as long as you guys don't have practices or anything like that. Yeah. PC, you're going to have practice.
Yeah,
you'll get practice.
Yeah, boys are making a run here in group 2. So
yeah, shout out off topic, not really on that Philly, John, but, you know, got to shout out big time. Sterling boys. The baseball team doing a great job. Yeah. First conference title
really
since 2012.
Program. Yeah, turn the program around, Pat.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And a way to represent.
Yeah, you're having a good year, man. You get yourself a South Jersey Group 2 title in soccer, and now you got a conference. You're going to be running out of room in your closet with all the jackets. Come on.
You get a TPJ patch on the baseball jersey.
Yeah. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, get the name out there.
We got to get this on our social. We got to make up like a social.
Yeah.
We got to put somebody in charge of that.
Anyone who watches the Paulsboro game later, I'm gonna kind of
have a
little blurb out there later.
Sure.
When we're all at college, maybe we can get on a Zoom call. And,
you know what? It's funny you should mention that. Because I would love to bring in on the phone somehow, bring in Jake or Brian as
Jake
a guest.
Actually, Jake would like to. I think if there's a day next week, I know it might be tough, but I'm cool to get on and talk ball with Jake
or something. We can chat about that for sure. Philly segment is now complete. We're going to shift gears a little bit. This is right. Danny's already, he's like foaming at the mouth waiting for this one. He's a big fan of this segment. Switch it over to the Flyers. Now, they are in their offseason.
Yep.
5 years in a row, did not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But they did make a really, really big move shortly after we finished recording our last podcast, and they hired a new coach, their 25th coach in the history of the franchise, mm-hmm. and a former player, mm-hmm. shocking, in Rick Tocchet. And you texted me immediately, and you did not like the hire.
So, I'm going to start off this segment by saying Mr. Stewart is the most casual Philadelphia Flyers fan I've ever heard in my years of watching the sport. If you're a casual fan, you should never have
him. You gave up
opinion.
On the coach before he even had his introduction press conference.
Trav, I'm about to get there. I'm about to get there.
Got him.
I'm about to get there. That was reactionary. Now, I've got to sit on it. I listened to his introduction press conference.
Tocchet didn't even know he was the coach before he gave up on him, dude. My God.
So, hold on. All right.
I'm done making jokes.
All right. So, hold on. So, when I was texting you and I was thinking about this hire, Strauss, I told you that the Flyers are uncomfortable with the uncomfortable. And I think as an ownership, there's a certain step out of the box that you need to take every once in a while. We do not do that. And that's something that may hold us back at times. That's something that may be a safer option that kind of brings us a little bit of success every once in a while. Maybe we should be a little bit more familiar. Now, Tocchet, even though he is the new Flyers coach, he was a former Flyer. Tocchet isn't just any other coach. I mean, he's ran some pretty successful teams. I mean, the Canucks were really good back in their day. And he's a guy that attracts some free agents. He's mm-hmm. a guy that's going to attract the Mitch Marners. He's going to attract, you know, the Sam Reinhardts.
I see what you did there.
And I unintentionally did that.
It's called foreshadowing.
I unintentionally did that.
Right.
Truthfully, I don't really want Mitch Marner. But he's a guy that attracts those types of players. And come next year, he's the guy that attracts McDavid, Eichel, a bunch of the big centers that are on the market. So will we get in any of them? Probably not. But he's going to attract some big names. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to be good. There's other coaches I would rather have had. And there's other coaches that I wouldn't have rather
had. So who's the guy that you were targeting that you, instead of Tocchet, you would have been happy with this name?
So I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't know how to say his name. He has a crazy name. Pat Firstweiler. He is the Western Michigan head coach from this past year. Who just won the Natty. Now, what I heard from a lot of people is that he was super personable with all the players. And Strauss, you know this from there's definitely levels of prospects in the NCAA.
Yep.
They beat some really good teams some high-end prospects. With a team of prospects, I think their best player was Alex Bump, who's a Flyers prospect, who was picked in round 5. So that's a coach that a lot of people can rally behind, and I think his youth and able to communicate that, mixed in with a lot of our youth, with Matvei Michkov, Tyson Forster, who's finding his stride overseas right now, playing for Team Canada, and even some of the older players, I think that would have helped, and that was my first option. But I've gotten to sit on it a little bit, and Tocchet makes me feel a little happier.
I mean, what is your response to the Flyers when I say the Flyers, I mean the entire organization recycling old players?
Yeah,
it's an easy narrative to go with, and that's all they seem to do. I mean, look who's in their front office:
yeah.
Keith Jones, former player; Danny Briere, former player.
Yeah. So the thing is, with Briere, he had experience in the organization for a while. I was pretty okay with that. There's a good and a bad. Briere's inexperience scares me. And it still does. I think his ability to close on deals has not been very good. There's a lot of people who are uninterested a lot of the time. But there's one hire within the organization that you mentioned that I love, and that's Keith Jones. Because you say it yourself, the Keith Jones is...
Love that hire.
Everyone loves Keith Jones.
Yep.
He's great relationships around the league. That's not just some in-organization hire. That's a hire that the Flyers needed to make for the... He's from the organization, sure, but I think that's a riskier hire to try and level the playing field for Danny B.
I hated that hire for one reason.
Not because
he went to the Flyers, but because you took him off the broadcast. And I think he was an awesome analyst. He found a great way to be unbiased. I'll say slightly biased, but he also told it how it is. Like he was fun to listen to, knowledgeable. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly it, Strauss.
I think he was a phenomenal hire for the Flyers, even though he fits that narrative of
correct
of an ex-player.
To say the least, Strauss, he knows the game. He loves 100%. And knows the game. And 100%. That's exactly what we need in that front office with the inexperience that Chuck Fletcher brought in kind of bringing down this team. He knows the game. He knows who he wants. I put a lot of trust into Danny Breer because of Keith Jones. Other than that, a lot of the in-organization's hire, I still don't like that Holmgren looks over things. I don't like that Bobby Clark looks over things. I don't like that we don't have an owner that is just an owner. We have Comcast. That still doesn't make me feel happy. I want an owner. Like the Eagles have Jeffrey Lurie. An owner.
He's a guy.
He's a guy. Right. He's not an organization. Don't like that. So
and
there's
this,
still
this
some
is,
things.
To give this a little bit of backstory, you are a season ticket holder.
Yes.
So you are invested into this
yes.
in many different avenues.
And
which
the
is pretty
Flyers
cool.
on the thankful side of things, and I think this Tocchet hire will help. Again, as I mentioned, it'll help bring in some big market names, maybe Mitch Marner, maybe Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett, excuse me, a couple people who are on the market this offseason. But this Flyers team this year had some of the most electric crowds. There was a lot of things to build on this year because of the talent they started bringing in, because of the rivalry with Cutter Gauthier. And with, like Travis said about Juan Soto, I've never seen a group of people stand and boo a person than the Flyers when I think Cutter Gauthier rolled.
You touched a little bit on free agents. Mm-hmm. And here are some of the top free agents. The biggest name is out there, obviously, is Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner, their season just ended on Sunday night. I'm not going to talk about that because it has nothing to do with that Philly, John, and I'm just going to leave that there. If you want to talk to me about the Toronto Maple Leafs, please come find me. I'll be more than happy to chew your ear off for 15 minutes.
It's my favorite part of the day.
Yes, I know. Mitch Marner's out there. Nikolaj Ehlers is out there as well. John Tavares, another Maple Leaf, is also out there. He's also a little bit on the older side now. Sam Bennett, you had mentioned Brock Besser. Aaron Ekblad is playing the last year of his deal. Brad Marchand, who is turning out to be a phenomenal pickup by the Panthers.
Panthers, yeah.
We're not going to get into how much I don't like him. Brock Nelson's out there. Neil Pionk, Matt Duchene. So there are some names out there that the Flyers can pick up.
Yeah.
But if they get Mitch Marner, just for example,
mm-hmm.
does that make them a top two seed in the East? No.
No.
They have a long way to go.
Yes, they do. And goaltending alike. And if I'm the Flyers. Sorry, I'm Fedotov. But if
that, yeah, that's Travis's boy right there.
I'm sorry, G. Yeah,
he's about the only Flyer.
I got him an Ivan Fedotov t-shirt.
I can't tell you more about Fedotov than I can Mitchkov. And he's like the greatest thing that's ever happened to this organization.
Yeah, he might be.
He's going to be close.
Yeah. If I'm the Philadelphia Flyers, I'll make this short so we can move on to another part of this. If I'm the Philadelphia Flyers, I'm surfing those offer sheets. I'm hoping and praying that your Toronto Maple Leafs sign Mitch Marner and so we can snag Matthew Nyes from you guys. I'm hoping we can maybe get Marco Rossi from the Minnesota Wild. There's a lot of people who are out there that have a good offer sheet that the Flyers can scoop up. That is where I put my energy. And if I'm Danny B and Keith Jones, I'm going straight to those offer sheets.
So I'm going to leave this here and then we'll close this out. I don't think Marner is going to come back to the Leafs because after game five, they were already saying, how do you feel knowing that you might have played your last game in Toronto? They were already signing his plane ticket out of there. Yeah. I would be shocked. Number one, they don't have the money to do it. I think Marner's gone. I think Tavares is gone. Those are going to be the top two free agent guys on the market, or part two of the top five.
So probably. No Matty Ice in Philadelphia, unfortunately.
Nope. I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know.
You
never know. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw Luka Doncic get traded out of nowhere. So that'll close out the Flyers segment. I know Danny and I could talk for at least another hour.
Yeah, we could. I'm sorry, NHL. PC and T, but
PC,
that's,
they got,
you know, that's my area.
Yeah, yeah, and the whole point of having you on the show is to talk about the Flyers.
Yeah, yeah. Because, Stu, you're a fraud. And
we got to get Stu back.
I'll sit here and argue Giroux with you all day.
Love that. All right, shifting gears. Not really much Sixer talk going on. Other than the NBA conference finals are set now between the Knicks and the Pacers, which is going to be a phenomenal series. And then you got OKC and Minnesota in the West. Four brand new teams you're used to that landscape. You're not going to see the Cavs. You're not going to see the Lakers, the Warriors. It's just going to be a completely different landscape, and it could be the changing of the guard in the NBA a little bit.
I'm really looking forward to the Pacers and Knicks.
Knicks series. You guys weren't around for that series in the late 90s. There's an ESPN 30 for 30 out there on the Knicks and the Pacers series with Reggie Miller and Patrick Ewing and John Starks. I highly recommend taking an hour and a half out of your day and going home and watching that.
Yeah, I need to watch
that. Educate yourselves. That series was incredible.
Those 30 for 30 series
are awesome.
Amazing.
They're awesome.
We always talk about the Avalanche and Detroit Red Wings one from the 90s as well.
They do a great job producing
them. They do a really good job producing them.
The big story, changing gears to our final, second to last segment here, the Eagles. Eagles, nothing really new with the – oh, wait, the schedule just got released.
Whoop, whoop.
And we can dissect.
We set that line the other day.
We did.
Me and Pat are saying 14.
Yeah. 14 is – so you're saying 13 and a half is the is your 13 line.
13 and a half is the line.
All right, shoot us the names and we'll say win or loss.
All right, so, here we go. We're going to go through the Eagles schedule, and then you're going to tell me W or L. Keep track of your own. You've got some, some writing utensils in front of you. You can keep track of your own if you choose to. Here we go. The first week is a no-brainer.
Win.
Yep.
You have to. You can't lose.
The Eagles are opening up the season at home against the Dallas Cowboys, and I think the funniest narrative behind this is that America's team gets to watch their most hated rival raise another banner in front of them.
Yeah.
Everybody's got that as a dub, correct?
Win.
Okay. All right. Moving on. I don't know what the strength of schedule is for the Eagles.
It's high. Year,
but it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. And they've earned it. They've earned that schedule, just to be fair.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my own W and L in here, too. On the road, Super Bowl rematch at Kansas City, Sunday, 4:25. So you get a little bit of a longer break. Trav, what say you?
I think they lose.
They lose to Pat Mahomes.
Gets
his revenge.
Are you joking?
Understand, like, the Chiefs, I love the Eagles, but like you got to look at it as a sports fan. They were embarrassed in the biggest sports game in the country ever. It's the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They were embarrassed. If they don't win this, this is a must-win for them, because if the Eagles, after embarrassing them in the Super Bowl, walk into Arrowhead and beat them and dismantle them again like that. Do I hope the Eagles win? I do, but I'm not trying. I don't want to be a homer, Dan.
I'm not trying to be a homer either. But my grandma, and I love my grandma, she could run routes for the receiver or for the Chiefs at this point. Are you joking?
It doesn't matter.
Quinyon and Coop are just like that's
to me that doesn't matter. I just think the Eagles.
PC, what do you think?
Oh, they're winning.
Thank you.
At least 10.
Trav, you're putting that down as an L.
I think whatever. Do I hope the Eagles go in there and embarrass them again on national TV? Yes, that would be awesome. But you don't understand that the Chiefs have to win. They're at home too. I don't care if Rashee Rice is healthy. That's cool. And I'm not the Chiefs fan. I hate the Chiefs. But again, Dan, I'm not trying to be a homer. I'm trying to think reasonable. I'm
trying to be a realist.
Trav, you're going to school up in North Jersey, right?
Yes.
So you're gonna get a wonderful video from me at Temple University in the middle of Philadelphia after we win that game.
Dan, I think you're taking this as I want the Eagles to lose.
I know you don't want them to lose. You think they're going to.
Strauss has our predictions.
Wrong.
I think they drop a game.
All right, go ahead, Strauss. Keep going.
PC, you got a dub?
Yeah, I got a dub.
What does my sheet say?
L.
I'm saying that's an L there. And that's fine. Agree to disagree. Next week, at home.
Just like the Chiefs beat us in the Super Bowl, we beat them the following year
because our roster was much better as well.
Assuming that everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
And the conditions are 75 and sunny every day. Yeah. Okay. So that's assuming that.
We can't write Pat Mahomes off. The guy wins games.
Week 3, back home against the Rams.
Win.
It's a win. Where's Matt Strader?
Next.
I have that as a win as well. On the road, and a place that the Eagles notoriously play god-awful in Tampa.
We play Tampa on the road again in week 4?
Yep.
I think they win. I think they lost this year. Dan, I watched this at your house. They were down A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith this year.
Yeah.
It was a weird game. The weather was really bad. I think Saquon was cramping really bad. Again, just, you know.
I'm gonna stick with Trav here. I'm gonna go on a win. I have them at 4-0. I think PC put down something different.
Yeah, I got a loss there. I feel like we always have trouble with the Buccaneers, playoffs and dating back to that Rondé Barber and all that.
Yeah, so, all that jazz.
Yeah, or Tiki Barber, one of them. I forget.
One of the barbers.
Yeah. But I got an L there.
I've got a win there.
Good take.
Yeah, I think who's their quarterback?
Baker.
Baker Mayfield. Okay, enough said. All right, so this is the one that a lot of people are talking about as a potential trap game.
Is it Denver?
Denver.
I think that's a loss.
I think they can win that game. I don't think Denver's – Bo Nix, I think, is really good. And don't get me wrong. I think he's good. I just don't think they can keep up offensively with us.
So that's my first loss, and I think that defense is outer-worldly good.
It is.
And I think it's going to be unfortunate when all three of us sitting here are going to get a video from Connor Warrington screaming in our face. But I think that's unfortunately a loss for the
Birds. I do know that their secondary is kind of young. They drafted that corner this year too. I just think there's some spots that maybe the Eagles can expose. It's at home too. It's really hard for young talent to play at the link. Bo Nix has never played here before, so that's kind of why I'm confident going into it. I think the Broncos are built though, and I think that, you know, down the road they're going to be really good.
PC, before you give your opinion, can I ask the time of that game?
That is a 1 o'clock game, which does not – that's advantage Eagles.
That's advantage Eagles, big time. All right, I'm going to stick with it. PC?
I'm going to go with a win here.
Okay.
Strauss?
I have a win as well, 4-1. And then you go on the road for two, and it's a short week, Thursday night football. The good news is it's against the New York football Giants, which also – is a win. Everybody agree with that?
Yep. Yeah.
By the way, that's on Prime Video.
I'm pretty sure the Giants
pathetic
win their wins this year is like 5.5.
I'll take the under.
I think they'll exceed that.
I think they can win.
I think they go 6-11, 7-10.
Okay. Now that was the easy one. Here's the hard one at Minnesota. Mm. That following week, 1 o'clock start in Minnesota.
I like the win.
I like the win as well.
I like the win
there too. Rookie quarterback against the probably the best defense in the league. They're going to give him.
You know what's going to be really entertaining? Quinyon versus Justin
Jefferson. Man, yeah, for sure.
That's going to be nice.
Jordan Addison is good too.
Versus Coop. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Jordan Addison is, I think, one of the more slept on wide receivers in the league.
Oh, I agree.
He's a stud.
Yeah,
I have that as a win as well. And then the next week, back home against the New York Football Giants, we're all going to put that as a win, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I have them 7-1 going into the bye week.
I'm at the same 7-1 right now.
Okay. All right. Coming out of the bye week, well rested, a Monday night tilt in Green Bay.
I don't know. That's another one.
That's another one of those tough
places. But they're coming off a bye.
Put it a loss, Trev. I know you want to because you want to say the same thing for the Chiefs.
I'm putting it as an L.
I want to put it as a win. They're off the bye. I'm fine. Eagles fans travel well.
I'm going to say that's an L.
Say that's an L.
Hold on.
I'm going to say that's an L as well.
All right.
I like the win.
Back home, Sunday night football. So somewhat of a short week against the Detroit Lions.
Win.
Yeah, win. I think the Giants, the Lions lost both coordinators. They lost some talent on the defense. I think they win that game.
I've got a win as well.
That's going to be an amazing game. Dude.
That's going to be a great game.
There is one player on the Lions that Pat and I really do like, and that's Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams.
He's
fantasy?
Yeah, but he's one of those guys that's just electric to watch.
I can't. Speaking of fantasy, I would love to do a fantasy draft in here.
It would be
so fun. We'll get to that later. The following week at Dallas.
Win.
Yeah, it's a win.
Don't put the loss, Josh.
I don't know if I can. They're so bad, though.
The only person they added this was George Pickens.
I'm going to put that
whoop-de-doo.
As...
Yeah.
You know what? That's a win. They're terrible. The following week, it's a Friday game.
Oh, that's
Thanksgiving.
Black Friday.
It's a Black Friday game. 3 o'clock start on Prime Video. Home against the Bears.
Duh, win.
Yeah, that's a win.
It's a win.
Yeah. So far, I have them 10-2.
I have them 10-2 as well.
I think the Bears are going to be good. I'm currently at 11-1
and so is PC.
Yep.
Heading into week number 14 on the road at the Los Angeles Chargers.
I got a loss.
I'm going to say L there too.
I'm going to say win.
Okay.
Win.
Home against the Raiders.
Win.
Short week though.
Another win.
Short week.
I'm not worried about the Raiders.
Neither am I.
I'm not worried about that either when you have Goddard, Brown, Smith.
This is where the next 5 weeks, I think, makes or breaks their seeding. Here we go. At Washington on a Saturday.
Win.
No. Oh, is it?
At Washington.
At Washington.
That's an L.
They dropped that.
Yeah.
Okay. Pat?
I got a win.
Okay. Then you go at Buffalo.
There's another loss.
Yeah, I got a loss there.
Okay. In Buffalo in late December?
Yeah.
Advantage Buffalo. That's an L.
And this is where I feel as fans might start panicking towards the end of the year. But there's no need to.
But then you come back.
And you beat Washington.
And then you beat Washington at home.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you win the last one.
Yeah, so I'm sticking to what I said earlier in the year. We're going 14-3.
I have 13-4.
I have 12-5.
I have 14-3.
That's it. But we still have... Oh, yep, that's it.
Yeah. Trav, you should be 15-2 with that take. With the Chiefs take.
12-5. So the line, I believe, is 11.5.
So we're all over.
We are kind of all over it. All over it. The preseason games, not that anybody's counting, but they do have three preseason games, two at home, one on the road. The two home games are against the Natty and the Browns, and then they will travel up the turnpike to the Meadowlands to visit the New York Jets.
Mm.
J-E-T-S, Jets. Eagles schedule, we can break this down however we want.
Oh, my gosh.
We Eagles, need a whole Eagles win the division. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, they win the division, I think. Washington's legit, but
They are legit.
They win the division.
Washington would be very legit if it was 5 years ago.
Correct.
They're not as scary as now.
That's all right, two-minute drill, our final segment. We love this segment. It's one of our favorite segments. We're going to rip off five things. You guys gave me three. I added two on the fly.
Ooh.
So we'll see what happens. Right. First one, the Celtics title window closing faster than we think. Is this the changing of the guard that we mentioned earlier?
Yes.
Yeah. They're not going to be able to bring back everyone that they have.
I think either you got to think Chris Stapps may get traded.
Yeah.
One of their other guys, because you got to make room for Peyton Pritchard, and I think that's the biggest thing. And Tatum now being out for blank is going to impact that.
I think that injury is going to impact Tatum the rest of his career, and it's sad to see. As much as I don't like Boston, it just sucks to any athlete.
Tatum's not going to play all next year.
Yeah.
There's no way, which is unfortunate. Let's go switch it over to hockey real quick. Does Connor McDavid finally get a cup? They have one more hurdle to get back to the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Does he finally get a cup and bring a cup back to Canada for the first time since 1992?
For my Philadelphia Flyers, I say no. But it's tough comp over at the East. Strauss, you guys ran into a good Panthers team, and I think that team has the ability to go back-to-back.
Pat?
I think Edmonton can get to the finals and maybe take that home, but that I think the East is pretty good over there with the Hurricanes and the Panthers.
I don't think they can get a cup.
And I got to think because of the Dallas Stars, that's a really tough matchup to hop
really
over. They're
good.
Really deep and very good.
They're really fun to watch. I think both sets of finals in the East and the West are going to be incredible.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really good. I know the NHL, kind of think silently, is hoping for a Connor McDavid finals as opposed to like Dallas and insert either Carolina or Florida there. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Number three, Caitlin Clark will win the WNBA MVP. Pat Carroll.
I'm going to say yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think, Charles?
I think
I picked her as when we talked about it, who's the most marketable, who's going to be the most marketable athlete of 2025.
Sure.
She's a bucket. I mean, she ran into Angel Reese the other day, and that got a lot of
it's like a
social media
Derek
buzz.
Rose versus Scalabrine. Angel Reese is just irrelevant compared to Caitlin Clark.
No, Angel Reese can play.
Yeah, when she grabs
she
12 rebounds on 30% shooting in a game, she can play.
That's a hot take.
That is a hot take.
That's a flaming hot take.
I mean, Angel Reese like misses like three laps in a row. And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I think she could play, and she's tall. I think she's got a lot she can work on. But,
that's what I'm saying.
For right now, I'm.
All right, these are the two that I added real quick. The NHL owners are meeting this week, and they're going to be talking about whether or not the tush push should be legal. Throw your Eagles bias out. Do you think the tush push, Travis Schmidt, will start with you? Should the tush push be legal play in football?
Yeah, it's a football play. Learn how to stop it. That's all I'm going to say.
Danny?
Yes, the injuries take is dumb. Nothing. No one's ever gotten hurt with it. I don't get that at all.
Packer. I'd say, yeah, it's legal. If you got to like be able to do it like like, you should try it and, like, see if you could do it. And, like, then see if it starts to work for you, then you should know it should not be illegal.
I think it will be a legal play. However, I'm going to look at it from the standpoint of the viewer. I don't think it's fun to watch. I think it's just, if you have a yard to go and you do that, it's just going to be assumed. And I think you're going to see a lot more people being changing their play calls on second and third down, knowing that if you are within a yard, yard and a half, you can get a tush push off. But you have to have the right quarterback and the right personnel in order to do that. Having said that, figure out a way to stop it if you can't do it.
Correct.
All right, last one. Sticking with the football theme, and I thought of this on the fly while we were doing the show here. Saquon Barkley over under 1,700 rushing yards this year.
Over,
over,
over.
Did I set the line too low?
Yes.
Yeah.
1850.
I mean, he went 2,000 and change.
Yeah.
He had 17 by like week 14.
Yeah, I think he's over.
Yeah.
So if I said Saquon over under 1,900 yards,
now we're pushing it.
Let's change that up. Saquon over under 1,900 and a half yards. 1,900 and a half yard.
Part of me, as much as I love him, I think I'm going to say under.
I'm going to agree.
It's really hard to get back-to-back 2,000-yard rushing seasons.
Yeah.
I mean,
even with the extra game.
A thousands. And like you celebrate people getting 1,000 yards, 2,000, that's ridiculous. That's insane.
Yeah.
And I think he cares about winning. I think he just wants to win. He can care.
Which is why he didn't play in week 18.
Yeah, and he sat out of the Giants game.
Saquon could have had 2,300 if he played every snap he could. But
yeah, like what about the game? He said, "Take me out, let the other guys eat. I'm good. We won."
Yeah.
Love that. I think I set the line too low.
Yeah,
I think so.
I guess only time will tell.
Indeed,
only time will tell. Guys, awesome show. Great job. Danny, thanks for joining
us. I just want to say thank you guys for letting me on. I appreciate it. Letting me spew my Flyers things with Strauss for about 10 minutes.
We got to get you and Stu back on here and have you guys just completely go off the deep end. I would love to hear some of your hot takes.
Complete casual. I don't understand where he gets a lot of his logic from. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And I can't wait for him to hear this so that he can somehow respond.
Please do.
So that'll do it for this episode, episode 3 of That Philly John. Great job. Next week, I believe we got a little Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Yeah.
So lots of things to talk about over that span. We're going to try and come back next week, do another show. Again, Pat Carroll, awesome job, man. Congrats again on your Colonial Conference championship. First one in over a dozen years. So awesome, awesome work.
Thank you.
Trash Mid, always a great job putting this thing together. Yeah, another Group 2 state champion.
Of course, yep.
No big deal. Just another day. Ho-hum. Just another title.
Let's go. And an
Emmy winner.
And Travis is an Emmy winner, too.
Yep. Trav, and you know what? On the documentary. Yeah, dude, you're just racking up. You're having a hell of a year, man.
Yeah, you know, it's great. I'm trying to just make the most of it. That was my goal coming into the year, but it's not possible without anyone else, you know, part of my support crew. So.
Travis got a medal at our band banquet last night.
Nice.
From Mr. Young.
Yeah. But again, you know, it's not possible without, you know, my friends and family and all that stuff. So it's
saying great. All the right things. I love this.
Yeah.
And then there's me.
And
then there's me.
Delaware Bluecoats PA announcer.
Hey-o.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I love that.
Doesn't
go
unnoticed.
It's a good
time. Marathon runner, too.
Yeah, come on, man. Strauss. Look at the man. Look at the man.
I'm just a guy. Anybody can do that. At any rate, that's going to wrap it up for episode 3 of That Philly John. Check us out on Sterling's website, and it's under multimedia, Sterling Radio Podcast. If you want to get involved at the show, hit one of us up. Find us on the socials. Speaking of socials, we're going
to
try and get some socials going.
Yep, yeah.
For sure. We're going to talk about that once we go off the air here. That'll do it for this episode of That Philly John right here on Sterling Radio. We'll see you next week for episode number 4.